All right, let's get our Bibles tonight. Let's get Romans chapter 10. We're going to finish up that chapter there. And this is about the cornerstone chapter on the plan of salvation, if there ever was one, if you ever needed one. Romans chapter 10, and we'll get down here about verse 11, or 14 rather. Chapter 10 and verse 14, he says this. We'll go ahead and read these verses down to the end of the chapter. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them. Thank God for that. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I stretched forth mine hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Heavenly Father, help us now, we pray, for just a few minutes to bring glory and honor to Thee, Lord, but to impart these words of truth to the people that have come to hear. I pray that You'd bless us all with ears to hear and, Lord, hearts to understand. And, Lord, we appreciate the great blessing of being able to be in church tonight. Whatever's accomplished, Father, be in the center of it all, receiving glory to Thyself, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So he starts off there, 14 and 15, for then shall they call, how shall then they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him on, of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Now the order's kind of reversed there. Because in verse 13 is where he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you're going from the sinner to the sermon, so to speak, is what you're going. Normally it's the sermon to the sinner, right? I mean, the Word of God is a message. The Bible, well, the word sermon itself, it means a thrust, and the Bible's likened unto the Word of God that Hebrews 4:12 said, the Word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Ephesians chapter 6 tells you to put on the whole armor of God, and he says, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
So when you got a preacher in a pulpit and he's delivering a sermon, that's a thrust with a sword. Sometimes it gouges into those places that often ain't too fun, amen, to have gouged every once in a while. But that's the whole purpose behind salvation is how shall they hear without a preacher? When the Lord sends the gospel out, He sends it out by preachers. I mean, even the Apostle Paul said that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said that it was the foolishness of preaching that brought men to salvation. Now, you can either be a fool for Christ's sake, or you can be a fool like what Proverbs says a fool is. And I just soon be the one for Christ's sake.
Amen.
Amen. Now, when it comes to preaching the gospel, it's not limited. Now, a lot of people take a verse like that and they try to put shackles on the verse. How do they do that? Well, by saying, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, I'm not called to preach. And that's how they interpret the verse. That's not how that verse is interpreted. That's not what that verse means. Everybody in here has the capability, if you're saved, you have the capability of giving a gospel message to a lost soul, and that soul coming to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so, when people tend to lean more towards the whole, well, I'm not, you know, called to preach, excuse me, I'm not an ordained person. You know, preaching is just simply telling somebody the gospel message, which is Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and He was buried, and He was raised again the third day according to the Scripture. Now, get with me, if you will, real quick, come ahead to Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to show you something here. Philippians chapter 1. Now, in this passage, you're going to notice that you've got two groups in their preaching. But what I want you to notice is that none of them are labeled as apostles or preachers or teachers or anything. They're just people. But he says here in Philippians chapter 1, and look in verse 12, he says this, "But I would that you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul's writing from a jail cell. He's in a jail cell here, and he's telling them, verse 13, "so that my bonds in Christ." Well, he had physical bonds too, but he said, "I'm the Lord's bondman. I'm in prison for Christ. I'm not in prison for man." But he says, "the bonds of Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord." Now you see this? "Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, were much more bold to speak the word without fear." It was people seeing what Paul was going through that enabled them to have the boldness that they could step out and have the same confidence to preach the Word of God and to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was in prison for anyway. Paul was in prison because he was telling people that faith and trust in Christ alone was going to get them saved, and no law was going to be required, no obedience. And I was reading that over in Acts over there. I think it's over in chapter 15, the book of Acts. They were over there telling them, some of the religious Jews were over there saying, "Well, except you be circumcised." You know, you it's okay to get saved, but you need to be circumcised too. You know, they were. You realize, and I don't have. I don't know all of them. I know there's. Did you know that in the book of Acts, they got five ways that they give of being saved? Now, one of them's the only one that's right: by grace through faith plus nothing. But during that time, whenever they were trying to hash it out, you know, the Apostle Paul. I told you, the Apostle Paul had the revelation of the church given to him. And then he goes to Jerusalem, and Peter and James and John are there, and there's about 2 weeks of time that goes by where they're hashing it out about the doctrine of salvation, and alright, well, how does this work? How does that work? And you know, it's not until Acts 10 that Peter realizes, well, salvation ain't just for the Jews. But the Gentiles have got in on this thing too. We're going to see that here in just a minute. But I'll tell you some things about this. Let's keep reading. Verse 15. "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Now you got two groups there that he's talking about. Some are preaching the gospel of goodwill and Christ even envy and strife, some of goodwill and some of content, and some are preaching of contention. And then the other of love. But you know what they're doing? Irregardless of how they're doing it, they're preaching. Irregardless of how they're preaching, they're preaching. There's a lot of people that'll go out here and they'll try to do that. They say, "Well, if you can't do it with the right heart, you as well not do it." No, if you believe that, then you're trying to say that the Word of God is limited in what it can do based upon you. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that the Word of God is not bound. There's nothing in you or in me that binds the Word of God from having effectual power. Amen? I mean, isn't that what He said? He said, "It worketh effectually also in you that believe." So it's that power of God unto salvation. Jesus Christ's Word, that this Bible and the Word of life is what carries within it the power of salvation, not your condition. Hey, I'll go ahead and I'll tell you, I've had the opportunity to witness to people and win them to the Lord when my heart wasn't right with the Lord. But I knew the message, and I knew what to tell them, and I knew the verses. And the Holy Spirit of God, through His Word, gave conviction to that lost soul, and they come to Christ, in faith and trusted Him, is that is my condition and the way that I was affecting the fact that they needed salvation? Was God going to withhold salvation from them because my heart wasn't right? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He said, whosoever shall call. There's no conditions attached to that. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God it don't matter the condition of the preacher. Amen. I'm thankful that there's been times I've gotten this pulpit and I know that my heart wasn't right and I still preached and God blessed.
Amen.
It's okay to amen that. There's probably been times when y'all left here thinking, man, he wasn't right with God today. Oh, come on now. Yeah, something off. The preacher's a half a bubble off plum today. Thank you. I think Richard made comment about that this morning. With about a half a bubble off plum this morning. Amen. So God sends forth the gospel and He does it through preachers. All right, come on back over here to Romans. But then look at what He says in verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they preach except they be sent? God sends forth preachers. And the quote now, He's took the quote out of Isaiah 52. We're not, but you can write that down if you want to. But the thing about it is what He's talking about here. He says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach a gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I mean, if you go over to, let's go ahead and let's look over in Ephesians chapter 6. It's just a few pages down the road there and get Ephesians chapter 6. It's actually just opposite of the page that you were on with Philippians. And in Ephesians chapter 6, He tells you down there whenever He... Well, let's just kind of start at the top. We're not going to go all the way down through all these pieces. But notice what He says in verse 10 there. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong. So strength comes from being completely fitted with what He's fixing to give you in this list. All right? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How else would David have slew Goliath? He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. Well, that's everything that part, that's a lot of that's listed right here. But He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. That's why that's so important. Fine, brethren, be strong in the Lord. I know I went through there. Me and Brother Mike Wheeler, I had talked to him about this some years ago when he had first got started in his church over there. This has been about 2 years ago, I guess. I say some years. It's only been about 2 years ago. And I was talking to him. We had just concluded a study here in the book of Ephesians, and I went to him and was talking to him about some things and just checking my, you know, making sure I was straight, you know, just some stuff I had on my mind. And he was looking at my Bible here, and he looked, and all through the book of Ephesians, he just saw all these red highlights all the way through the book of Ephesians. And he said, what's that? And I said, I went through and I highlighted everywhere in the book of Ephesians where it says, where it references being in Christ. Because it's either in Christ Jesus, in Christ, in Him, that's referring to Christ, in whom we have redemption, that's being in Christ, in Himself, in Christ, in Him, in whom, in Christ, in whom. And that goes all the way through. And we get to the end, the last mention of that is in verse 21 of chapter 6. And he says, but that you may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Do you know how many times that makes total? That phrase or that idea of being in Christ is mentioned in the book of Ephesians? That makes 33 times. And when he was 33 years old, he went to Calvary and made it possible for you to be in Him. And I tell you, I don't believe this is not a coincidence that it's laid out and worded. The Bible says every word of God is pure. And I believe every word is inspired. I'll even go so far as to say I believe every letter is inspired. Old preacher Bobby Utley over in Kannapolis over there, I've really got to where I admire that old man. And I say that very, I use the term respectfully. And Brother Bobby, last time I was over there with him, he said, come over here, sit down. He said, I want to show you something. And I said, okay. And he took me over there to Exodus, where Israel comes up to a great body of water, and they'd been so long without anything to drink and no fresh water. But when they came up to the pool and they went down to taste the water, it says that the water was bitter. And so they called the name of it Marah. And that's Marah, M-A-R-A-H. Marah. Alright, but then when you get over in the book of Ruth, you read about Ruth the Moabitess, who's married to a man, and her husband dies, and she stays with Naomi, her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law goes back to the land of, goes back into the land of Israel, and whenever she does, Ruth goes with her, and, when they walk back into town and everybody sees Naomi, hey, Naomi's back! Hey, Naomi, it's good to see you! Sorry for your loss, but, I mean, the blessings of the Lord are here in Israel, we're just glad to have you back. And she said, don't call me Naomi. She says, call me Marah, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. But see, that's spelled M-A-R-A. And I thought to my, I was just sitting here looking at that old preacher, and he started grinning. I mean, that preacher had a smile that wide. He looked like that, one of them, what do you call them Cheshire cats. That smile was about that wide, and he said, son, he said, it ain't just every word that's inspired. He said, every letter in that Bible's inspired. He said, one of them is a woman saying, my name's Marah. And he said, the other one, they called it Marah because it's bitter water. And he said, one was spelt with an H and one wasn't. And the one with an H was referenced to H2O water. And the other one was referenced to a bitter heart. He said, every word and every letter in that Bible is inspired. And I tell you, man, I like to have got beside of myself. I'm thankful that we got a Bible that you can count on. Amen. But let's keep looking here now. Let's keep going here. Ephesians 6, he tells you, verse 11, put on the whole armor. You don't want to be partially equipped. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he tells you that you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. But then he begins listing these pieces of armor. But listen, I want to draw your attention to the fact that the whole purpose behind you being properly attired with this armor is so that you're able to do what? Stand. Right? But you have to stand on something. And typically it's your feet. Amen? I mean, I know this is elementary. This is bottom shelf here. That's so everybody can get it. I don't put the cookies on the top shelf. I keep them right there at the bottom where everybody can get a bite. Amen. Mostly because I can't reach that high myself. You got to stand on something. The whole purpose of that armor, listen, you got a shield of faith, you got a breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with truth, you got a helmet of salvation, you got but you're standing. That the whole purpose of that armor so you can stand. Amen. And then he says down there in verse 15, I think it is, he said, having your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Now let's go back to Romans 10. And let's look at what he thinks about them feet. He says, "How, as it is written, how beautiful, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Ain't that something? I'll tell you something else. If you're properly attired, I got two things I'm going to give you about this and then we'll move on to the next verse. If you are properly attired in the sense that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you know the only person that's going to know about the beauty of your feet will be the Lord. Well, ain't nobody else going to see them. They're shod. With what? The gospel. Nobody else. You know what they ought to see when they look at you? They ought to see Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When people look at you, they ought to see Jesus Christ. And if your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that's what they're going to see. But if we're walking around, and here's the second part of this point that I'm going to make. If you're not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in other words, if you're not actively trying to win people to Christ, then you've taken part of that armor and put it to the side. And now, number one, you're susceptible to injury, which is going to affect your stand. And then the other thing about it is you're leaving off fighting what they call the good fight of faith.
Amen, brother.
You got to have the whole armor on if you're going to effectively fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Hey, listen, your feet, I mean, I think it was during Vietnam that they told those soldiers, take care of your feet. I mean, I'm sure they did in all manner of warfare, but they said one of the greatest problems that a cavalry or anybody on the ground troops, one of the greatest things that they face and deal with is feet problems. I had a young man that I led to the Lord some years ago when he was 18 and he graduated high school right after I'd won him to Christ, and he went off to the Marine Corps, and whenever he came back, he was telling me about, I just said, man, just tell me about some of the stuff you did. You know, I just excited for him and excited that he was home, and he was just there. He was just there on a little visit, and then he was going to be shipped off to wherever he was going to be deployed. And I asked him, I said, tell me what kind of stuff you did. And oh, he was telling me, and it was exciting to him. I mean, boot camp wasn't nothing for him. This young man was so physically fit and in such good shape that the physical demand of what the boot camp required of him was nothing. Now, the problem he had was up here because he had a hard time getting out of bed. He was a bedhead and a deadhead, and when he fell asleep, I honestly think he was one of the ones, he'll sleep through the rapture. Amen. He'll wake up in glory, like, man, what happened? Well, the rapture happened. You know, we're in glory. Hallelujah. But he said, preacher, one of the things that was hard is he said, they took us out in the bush. They call it the bush. Went out in the bush, and he said, we got out in some marshes, and they had to go around in marshes. And he said, they kept telling us ever so often, they said, you need to stop and change your socks. Stop, take your boots off, change your socks, put your boots back on. And he said, some of us were like, we're just going to, ain't no sense in soaking all of our socks. We'll just wait until we're done, and then we'll take our old nasty ones off and put some nice clean ones on, and then we'll be able to relax. And he said, but when we got back to the base and we got in our tents, and he said, we pulled our boots off and then pulled our socks off. He said, we flipped our feet over and was looking. He said, and our feet had bled, because they had cracked and they'd split from all the moisture that had gotten in our socks. And our feet had cracked open, not because they were dry, but because they were too wet. And he said, they call it trench foot. And he said, we wound up in the infirmary for about 3 days because we couldn't hardly walk. By the time our feet dried out, that's when the pain set in. And we were susceptible to infection. You better make sure your feet are shod.
Amen.
Or what? You'll be susceptible to infection. Amen. Say, I ain't putting the gospel out. Your feet ain't shod. Amen.
Amen.
What does he say? He that winneth souls is what? Wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Not just because he's trying to keep people from going to hell, but because he has to understand that by giving the gospel out, that's him putting on that piece of that armor, which is protecting his feet, protecting his stand. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. You're going to have some that will. You're going to have some that are going to. But then there's going to be some that won't. Dr. Ruttman told us a story one time when we was in school about, this was back in the, like, when I say the early 1900s, I'm talking like 1902, 1903. But there was a train wreck that happened in Pennsylvania or something like that. And just a really bad deal, and a lot of carnage and a lot of destruction, and a lot of people were dying. And the medical personnel was running around trying to help as many people as they could, but the amount of injured and hurt people was just so vast that they were having to triage and to triage as they were helping the most needful ones first, but they were assessing if they were even capable of surviving. If they weren't capable of surviving, whether they were alive or not, if they were not going to survive, they'd move on to somebody else who had a better chance of living. And they come across this lady who was pinned between two pieces of metal that come off of one of the boxcars, and it had severed the main arteries in her legs, her femoral arteries, and she was very slowly bleeding out. And as this lady was laying there and all the screams and the wailing of the people around her for pain and agony, this lady began to sing. And she began to sing, "Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee." And these medics came over and they're trying to help her, and some are trying to help some people close to her. And she's the more that they're screaming, the louder she's singing. And they began to beg her, "Would you please stop? Would you please stop?" She said, I've lived all my life a Christian. Do you think I'm going to die any different?"
Amen. Amen,
brother. "I've lived my whole life as a Christian. You think I'm going to die any different?" Say, what'd she do? Picked up where she left off and just kept singing. Picked up another stanza. You know, what is that? That's a good witness. That's somebody that's got their feet shod. That's somebody that's prepared to let somebody know. There was another instance where it was a train wreck. It was another train wreck that I don't remember where it was or when it was, but there was this old black man that was on the train, and the train car was laying on its side, and everybody in it was just busted all to pieces, and everybody was gathering around to try to start helping evacuate the passengers. And this old black man throwed the window down and poked his head out, cut and bleeding and busted up. And he said, "I'm trusting the Lord. What you trusting?" You know? You got to be ready. Bible says that you ought to be ready to give an answer to anybody that asks the hope that lies within you. Amen? You know what having your feet shod is going to do? It's going to help you to be able to give the gospel out even in the most intense of situations. Amen.
Amen.
You want to see, you think about getting on a big old airplane and you're flying across the briny deep and then all of a sudden the engines fail and the plane's going down and the captain comes across the intercom and he says, "We're going down, we're probably not going to survive. Is there a preacher on the plane?" Boy, don't you hesitate. Say, "I ain't called to preach." So what? So what? Say, "I'm a woman. I ain't called to preach." So what? Jump up. Say, "Me." Say, "Okay, do you mind saying something?" We ain't seen it yet. It'll happen. I promise you it'll happen. Because I've seen it happen. But if we continue going out here on this street corner, and we've been doing this for, this makes 3 years now, that we've been going out there trying to preach on the street. I've been going out there. I was going out there the year before that we started going as a church. I was going out there. And you know what you're going to eventually wind up finding? You're going to eventually start finding there's going to be some opposition that's going to come. Now, they ain't doing it now. In fact, the only thing you hear right now, you know what it is? "Honk, honk. Good job. Amen." Because we're standing there holding up scripture signs. I may preach a little bit here or there, but I'm mostly just kind of giving them the chance to get used to us being out there. Because one of these days we're going to get it to where every time we step out there, y'all are going to hold signs and I ain't going to hold one. Because I'm going to have my Bible and I'm going to be preaching. And when we start opening our mouth and letting that word come out, that's when the opposition's going to start coming. And if you don't have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you know what's going to happen. When the opposition comes, you ain't going to know how to handle it. Brother Donovan down there at Bible Baptist down there in Pensacola, he was telling us one time that he'd been out on the street preaching and he'd been begging the Lord to get a chance to suffer. Has he told you all this? He thought to himself, man, I just wish I could get the opportunity to suffer for the cause of Christ. He had read and known about so many accounts of people that had died and martyred because of the cause of Christ, wouldn't renounce His name. And he thought, and here I sit in the United States of America and don't have anything but a little bit of persecution. He said, I think it would be an honor to get the chance to try to suffer for Him. Well, he was out on the sidewalk. Brother Donovan, if you're down there and you ever go street preaching with him, you know that Brother Donovan goes to the same corner every week. And it's on Airport Boulevard. I mean, he goes to the same intersection every week, just like Dr. Ruckman used to go to the same one. Guys would show up to street preaching 2 hours early to put their name on the board on the same corner as Dr. Ruckman. Just so they could preach at the same intersection as him. But Brother Donovan said he got out there one particular day and he was out preaching the gospel. Some guy pulled up and started yelling and cussing and hollering, and he never even paid him attention. He just kept preaching. And the guy started threatening him. I'll come over there and I'll da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he didn't even pay no attention. He kept preaching. That guy throwed that truck in park, opened up the door, and he come running out. And Brother Donovan said, I took my hands and I put them behind my back and I closed my eyes and held my face up. And I thought, hallelujah, I'm fixing to get a chance to do it. He said the guy drawed back to hit him, and when he swung, he missed and just kind of glanced off his shoulder, and then he got scared, run and got in his truck and left. He said, I was a little bit let down. What is that? That's somebody that's got their feet shod.
That's right.
That's somebody that's got their feet shod. What would you do? I mean, hey, look, I'm a red-blooded man just like any of y'all in here, and it ain't easy for me to stand there and let somebody come up and shoot their mouth off at me about something that ain't spiritually related. You think it's going to be easy to stand there and do it when they're talking about the Lord or talking about what I'm out there doing? But if you ain't got your feet shod. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now you got two different things in here that you need to realize. Then he says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? That's the gospel. It's hearing the message. But then he says, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, you don't bunch them together. You can't bunch them together. What time is it? All right, I got about 10 more minutes. You can't bunch them together. It's not faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. It's faith cometh by hearing. That's the gospel message. And hearing by the Word of God. See, you got a choice. When you hear, I mean, everybody can hear them. Everybody's got, you know, faith cometh by hearing. Okay, that can be everybody. But just like he said in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. So he said, faith cometh by hearing. That's you giving them the message. Then hearing by the Word of God is them hearing with understanding hearts. Amen. And receptive hearts. See, it's different. You can't just say, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God, because there's people that hear the Word of God all the time and never respond. Does that mean they got faith? No. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's look at an example. Let's get Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and let's get down here. Now he's talking about, in the first verses here, he's telling you the parable of the sower. And he gives you the sower down there in verse 3 and 4, and he's going around in verse 5. Some fell on stony places. He's gone forth to sow, and some sprung up. And then verse 6, the sun scorched them and withered away. And verse 8, others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. But then look at what he says in verse 9. He said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now you see that again when John's talking to the churches over in Revelation. He tells every one of them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So everybody's got ears. You reckon everybody in them churches are saved? Not in all the letters. Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians over there, and that was half written to lost people. Okay? So you got him saying, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. But then skip down to... look in verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. They're dull of hearing. They're not interested in what's being said. They don't care about what you're telling them. Their ears are dull of hearing. People think, well, I went by and I told them this and this and this, so they got saved or they got what? No, they didn't. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You can hear, you can hear something for so long that you know what it starts to sound like? It'll start to sound like, y'all remember the Charlie Brown? Y'all remember the teacher? Womp, 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 womp. You know, after a while, that's the way they perceive the gospel. They reject it, reject it, reject it, reject it for so long that eventually that's just what it becomes, is womp, 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 womp. And that's all they hear. Why? They're dull of hearing. You reject that thing. You reject that thing enough, and the Lord will turn the switch off. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's dealt to every man a measure of faith by which he can believe, but faith cometh by hearing. And if you ain't going to hear, and He gives you enough chances, and you cross the line, He'll turn the hearing off. And it won't matter how bad you want to hear, and it won't matter how much you want the conviction, and don't matter how much you wish the songs would stir you up. Nothing will stir you up. Amen. Nothing will stir you up. See, a person, even over there in, I think it's in 2 Timothy over there, where Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's telling him, he says, in the last days... He said, in the last days they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What is that? What happens to something if you tickle it long enough? Eventually it quits feeling. You ever notice that? You ever notice if you fall asleep with your arm under the pillow and you wake up you wake up sometime during the night and your arm's just like this? You've laid on it so long that there ain't no feeling. And you've got to sit there. You know, I smack mine. Sometimes it freaks me out. I don't expect it. So sometimes I sit there and I'm like, oh Lord, something's wrong with my arm. Then you start feeling it. The pins and needles start coming around. And then eventually it's, oh, okay, it still moves. I'm good. But you know, you lose it in the same way, but just reverse. It works. I can feel it. I can use it. But then if eventually I ignore it, eventually it's going to be the pins and the needles and then dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paul told him, he said, see, a person can have ears and not want to hear or understand. But the more, and this is the great blessing for those of us, and we'll shut this thing down here. But one of the great blessings about being saved is, if you are somebody that has ears to hear and you do respond, one of the great blessings about that is as you respond, He gives you more light.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As you grow, He gives more light. Amen. So that there can be more growth. That's why we was reading over there in Matthew in verse 9 there where he says, he that hath ears to hear in the previous verse. He was talking about some fell on good ground. It ain't all going to fall on bad ground.
Right.
Say, I don't want to sow on bad ground. That ain't your problem. You just sow. That's all you're supposed to do. Just sow. Don't worry about what kind of ground it's falling on. Listen, you're supposed to plant and some people water, but God gives the increase. The increase ain't up to you. You can't determine about the condition of the heart that you're sowing seed into. That's something only God knows. Because if it was something you and I could know, we'd become selective about who we give the gospel to, more so than what we are now. Amen. say, you're selected? Hey, listen, ain't nobody in here going to tell me that you naturally are going to be comfortable to walk up to somebody that's pierced from head to toe and tattooed and chained and makeup and flipped out hair looking like something that stepped off a spaceship, and you're going to walk up to them with the love of God in your heart and say, I really want you to get saved. You're going to stay on the opposite end of the aisle. You're going to keep your kids away from them. And that's the way you're going to treat them. Because that's what's natural to you. Well, they could be a freak. Yeah, they could be. But I can tell you what they definitely are. They're definitely lost. And they're definitely going to hell. I'll tell you, the person that put me under conviction about that was Heather's brother, Jonathan. Jonathan's home of the Lord now. And I honestly, truthfully believe that part of the reason Johnny's home of the Lord now is because Johnny was such a good witness that the devil had to do something to get him out of here. Now, you can say whatever you want. You just had to know Johnny. Johnny and the whole family come up here for about 2 weeks one summer and just spent 2 weeks up here. Man, we had a ball. Man, we had so much fun. Now, there was like 12 or 14 of us in that little bitty house that me and Heather was living in up there at the top of Bright Mountain. Some of you girls have been up there to that house. Y'all remember that house. It ain't big. And there was like 14 of us in that house with two bathrooms, you know, and a bunch of women. So God help, you know. Even some of the boys were coming to me saying, hey, ain't you got some tents? I'm like, yeah. They said, can we put them out in the yard? I had a fire pit and everything. Like, we'll sleep in the yard. I'm like, all right, we'll go in the woods. We don't care. Just let us out of the house. But Johnny, we'd go to Walmart and Johnny'd walk around with a bunch of tracks in his pocket. And I'm telling you, every little freak of nature that was walking around out of that college, hey man, down there at Western, walking around in the Walmart, and Johnny'd walk up and he'd just walk right up to him. He'd walk up and put his hand on him. They wouldn't even know he was there. He'd put his hand on him. He'd say, hey, can I give you something to read when you get a chance? And they said, oh, okay, thanks. And they'd take it from him. He'd turn around, walk away, and then he'd go around the aisle and he'd stop and he'd peek. And if he saw them opening it up, he'd give them about 30 seconds to get part of the way through it, and then he'd ease back over and he'd say, by the way, can I ask you a question? Are you saved? And I'm over here trying to find me a place in between the toilet paper to get in the shelf in there and pray because I'm under so much conviction. Why? Because a 17-year-old boy had his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace more than the preacher did. Amen. They ain't all going to hear, but that ain't up to you. It's just up to you to sow. That's all you're supposed to do. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. Well, there's the answer to all the people that say, well, what about the heathen in Africa that have never heard? Well, right there's your answer. And he said, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. 19, but I say, did not Israel know? For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Who's that nation? Well, look at verse 11 of chapter 11. Next chapter, verse 11. This talking about Israel. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Hey, listen, it's not a good thing that anybody fall, but the fact that they took, that they rejected, became a foolish, the fact that they rejected Christ, and that gave the foolish nation a chance to get saved. That was us. You say you ought to say hallelujah right there. Verse 20, but Uzziah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Thank God for that. You know what you and I were? We were so ignorant of our own condition that we didn't even know how to ask. We didn't even know what to ask for. Amen. Them Jews, you know what them Jews had on you that you didn't have? They had that. Because the Bible says that the oracles of God was committed to the nation of Israel. There ain't a book in that Bible that wasn't authored by a Jew. And that book wasn't intended for you and for me to have it, but because of the grace of God and the bloodshed of certain people to get it in my hands, I got it, and that's what gave me the chance to be born again. I was found of them that sought me not. I wouldn't have known how to seek Him if I didn't have a Bible. And He said, I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. Thank God. But then He says, but to Israel. Now, you got to be careful now. You can't look down your nose at them Jews. You better pray for them.
Amen.
You better pray for them. But here's what Paul says about his own people. He said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. You know what they're more interested in? Just like we was talking about in Sunday school this morning. They're more interested in that kingdom. Just like them Jehovah's Witnesses I talked to yesterday, they're more interested in that kingdom. That kingdom come. What is that? Gainsaying. Oh, I'm wanting to... Have you looked around and seen how broken the world is? You don't have to look around to see how broken the world is. You can look in Genesis chapter 3 and Adam fell in the garden and the world got broke right there. You don't have to see the progression of wickedness and the progression of terrible things that happen and the number of murders and the number of killings that takes place and the wars that are fought and the blood that's shed and the number of people that fought for a cause that they thought was noble and died a sinner's death and went to a lake of fire, and that's where they are now, having given their life for their country, honored by their people here, and now their reward is a lake of fire. You know? But I'm an American, so I can. I like Brother Donovan told me one time, told us one time he's preaching a message, and he said his dad always used to tell him, don't you ever say I can't. American ends in I can.
That's right.
He said, I went out to, Brother Donovan grew up in the north, up north, and he was a big basketball player, and he played with a bunch of blacks. And he said, it didn't take me long getting on a basketball court with a bunch of black boys that I realized African ends in I can too. And I'll tell you what, Mexican ends in I can too. But it ain't about whether or not you can, because I'll tell you, when it comes down to it, you can't. You can't. But He can.
Amen.
He said, I stretch forth my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. And listen, he's referencing the Jews right there, but that's guilty of this country too. I've stretched forth my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Because you know what Revelation chapter 3 teaches you about that Laodicean church? Now I know doctrinally Revelation 3, when it lists those seven churches, it's talking about doctrinally seven churches that will be in the tribulation period. But I want to show you what he says about that Laodicean age. Because he tells them over there, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. You know what he said? I mean, you see what one of the biggest problems you've got in this country right now is, and it's sodomy. And they call it gender misidentification. I've got a study I did, and I've got the notes swirled away somewhere on my computer. But I went and looked at a bunch of medical websites and looked up and found a bunch of links that tied gender misidentification to mental conditions that and it's not. They're gender misidentified because they have a mental condition. No, they contract a mental problem because they think they've been misgendered. And part of it is dysphoria. They're losing their minds. They're going crazy. And they're committing suicide by the multitudes. Why? Because they ain't had nobody to tell them. Because everybody looks at that. And I ain't going to sit here and tell you that that's not wicked. It is. It's wicked. No, you shouldn't accept it. No, you shouldn't be involved with it. You shouldn't support it. You shouldn't be a sympathizer with it.
Amen.
But I will tell you this. They still need somebody to tell them. But you can't put your arm around them and say, it's okay that you are what you are. No. But you put your arm around them and say, I love you and I want you to get saved. And God will take you as you are.
Amen.
I've stretched forth my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. You know what it says was the cause of sodomy? When Sodom and Gomorrah became what it was and the sin that became what that city was known for, do you know what started it all? I can't remember exactly where it is. I think it's in Zechariah. You know what he says? He said, abundance of bread and idleness of hands. Abundance of bread and idleness of hands. So what you've got since COVID is you've got most of the people sitting at home on their computer working from home. They don't have to go to a job. And they don't have to pull. They don't have to pull. I mean, they say, well, I'm pulling a 9 to 5. No, that's because they ain't had to pull a 5 to 9. Amen. If you don't know the blessing of a 5 to 9er, you don't know what you're missing out on. But they're sitting at home and they're on their computer and they're doing stuff remotely. And they've got all their needs provided for them. So they've got abundance of bread and idleness of hands. And you've got a nation full of sodomites that are taking your kids and teaching them that it's okay to be like this. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're trying to show you. That's what they're trying to teach you. What is that? Say, that's such a wicked thing. Yeah, but whose fault does it lay at? Well, it lays at the government's fault, at the government's feet. It's their fault. Are you sure? Because the Lord's over here saying, I've stretched forth mine hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. When you just read 4 verses or 5 verses back, how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet then that carry the gospel, that proclaim glad tidings of good things. They ain't no witnesses. Where are the witnesses? There ain't none. That's why the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. So he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. I told you a while back that I kind of thought we ought to have one Sunday we designate each year to, and we'll call it Bring a Friend Sunday. Bring a Friend Sunday. Everybody go and find somebody that ain't your wife or your husband or a member of your household and bring them to church with you. Even if you got to offer to take them out to eat after church. Buy them a hamburger. But put them in your rig if you have to. Bring them to church. You may not know that that may be the one thing, the one time it takes for them to hear that message. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You don't know that it may not take that one time for their ears to hear and their conscience to be pricked and their soul to come under conviction and them trust Christ.
Amen.
And it be a turning point in their life for the better. You just don't know. You just don't know. Let's bow our heads.